is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Crimes is brought to you by Alive, Bomb for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Grand Bahama News, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation.
Early in the morning, as the sun is dawning, I go to the well to get my water to bed. Get my wood from the bush to make my tea, and eat my bread till I fill my belly. Then I get ready to go outside and play. Get my friends from next door to run with me to the store to get some salt beef and flour for mama to cook. We pick some limes from the tree, and we pick some sapodilly. Then we make some switcher to drink to wash down the food. My Bahamian friend, growing up on the island, catching the fish with my bait and my line.
Growing up on the island,
sitting on the rock, everything is fine.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, live and in full effect. Grateful to be in your company. Grateful to be in the land of the living. Someone talk to me. We're celebrating now as we lead up to July 10th, a time of reflection, a time of being able to identify one people united in love and service. We're going to continue that particular thing. This is sort of the theme, the model that came out from the Bahama Secretariat. So we wanted to be able to take on that avenue and have very good conversations. Guys, if you want to join in today, I'd love you to do so. But before we do that, I want to shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go down there. If you're in the market for insurance, if you're in the market for that, you got to go there and check them out. They got everything available for you. If you're looking for something as it relates to insurance for your bulk fleet that's coming in, if you're looking for insurance for all those cars, those jet skis, those jitneys, those 4x4s, your livery plates and all those things, you can definitely do that down at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. Give them a call at 3411-AFS, 3411-AFS. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you check them out. Ask for my good friend, Ethric Bowe. They're open 9 to 5, 9 to 2 on Saturdays. Guys, it is a beautiful day. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. The Prime Minister intervenes with the task force. I mean, we got to be able to talk about these particular things. I think a lot of persons have taken on a very strong course of what should happen, why these things should happen. They make comparison and draw contrast to what's happening locally in comparison to what we see internationally in other spaces. But it's very important that we always take into account culture. Someone talk to me. And though we know that change is inevitable and the inevitability of change and the shift that should happen, I think that microdosing to the objective is good for a stubborn society. Let's be decent as we can talk about these things. Guys, it's a beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company. I want to start this off right now. I want to be able to start this off in decency and order. And I have always said this to you, and you always heard this voice with us. He's a friend of the show, and he's a very good friend of mine. He's promised me that this year that we have to be accountability partners. He ain't called me, though. I keep calling him. My God, I just want to be decent. Look at it. Look at it. I just want to be decent, right? That's gonna be, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to none other than Ambassador Devin Rhodes. He's always here being able to give us insight as we dive deeper into this conversation. Ambassador, say good afternoon to the people out there.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. It is always a joy and an honor to be in the company of Mr. Howard Grant, who is in high demand every single day of the week. So you have to be very careful about approaching him during the high demand season that he's in.
High demand by my wife. She's like, where you going? Where you going? But I want to talk about this. I'm grateful that you can join me. I think we did this once before. I think during this particular season, if I can recall, we did this.
We talked about this. Yep.
You know why? Because I always like to be able to look at the archetypes, the pillars of our society. Mm-hmm. We were built off faith. We were built off this Christian morals and this particular base that we were moving with, right? And I believe that time came in, and with time, this sort of an idea of being able to acquire your own with education. Yes. So these things happen.
Yes.
These things happen. So we drifted. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it before we got on, the importance of being able to know, can your anchor hold? My God, I just get preachy very quickly. I got to calm down. Right? So I just wanted to be able to know if your anchor could hold. And I don't know whether or not socially we have come to a conclusion or an understanding that the anchor has hold, but we've left it. We have taken our hands off of it. We don't necessarily cling to it anymore. We don't go back to this particular source. And in fact, a lot of us have drifted so far that we don't even know where the coordinates is to be able to get back to those things. So when I hear this sort of this layout, the motto that the Bahamas Secretary has put out there that says that one people united in love and service, we know what this is. Mm-hmm. This is our pledge.
Yes.
This is what we learned when we was in school. Mm-hmm. This is sort of our hand, put your right hand over your chest. I pledge my allegiance to the flag and to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The one people united in love and service has placed us in this position. And so I wanted to break this one people united in love and service down. I wanted to be able to break it down in every sort of subsector that it presents. The one people, the united, the love, and the service. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are fractions that exist in every subsector thereof. Right. And I wanted to know how we could be able to find the proper cohesive bonding agent, the bonding mm-hmm. agent, mm-hmm. to pull everything together, that it's not just merely words. Talk to me.
Yes, sir.
But it is actually something that we can apply and see real change mm-hmm. in our community. Talk to me about it.
So, good day again, Bahamas. It's always an honor, like I said before, and privilege to be able to speak over the airwaves. I don't take this lightly. And help to add to the national discourse and also national development. One people united in love and service. It is a powerful mantra for us as a nation, as a people. Just this past Sunday, ironically, I had opportunity to honor the founders of what is known as the National Association for Justices of Peace in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. Which recently I was made president of, by God's grace. And one of the persons who we honored.
Thank you, sir.
One of the persons we gave honor to was a man called Sidney Thompson, who everybody knows.
Sidney MacArthur Walter Thompson, professor?
The professor.
Okay, praise God. He's probably listening right now.
He's probably listening.
Okay, praise God.
Who has, for all my life that I've heard him, been a fighter.
Advocate.
An advocate.
Relentlessly.
For the Constitution,
yes.
And more so importantly, the teaching of it in our school system.
Yes.
And even as you asked me to come and talk about what the Secretariat has released as our focus for this year's independence, he came to mind immediately, mm-hmm. immediately, because, and I'm like, whoa, this Constitution that we have is so powerful. And the essence of what our founders of the nation sought to do, a people united in love and service. A people united in love and service. But that theme and that idea there seems to me that they were announcing the end of separatism in our nation. This was the goal. I'm sure you're going to come and let's discuss whether it has become a reality or not. But the goal in itself is pure and admirable. And I'm starting here today. The idea of the end of a separatist kind of developmental path is critical. Two, we end the separatism with what? With love, because who is love? God is love. And our attempt is to acknowledge and to honor his sovereignty and to come to a point where the majority of people who were transshipped from their original homeland to a far off land in the distance, brought in as slaves, and now the day has finally come where they are to be seen as equal, where their voice is to be heard, where they now are supposed to be able to contribute to the development of that country. Those leaders were saying, we have to acknowledge God in the way forward. And if we're going to get anything accomplished, we have to do it in the spirit of agreement, which is huge, because I'm going to add my spirituality in this in terms of knowledge of Scripture. Matthew 18, verse 18 says, if two or three of you are gathered together as touching anything in agreement, God then says, I will be in the midst of you. And then verse 19 goes on to say, and anything you ask of me, I will do it. You see how strong this notion is? So this is incredibly strong, because where there is agreement, there will be productivity. Where there is agreement, there will be the presence of God. I don't want to take us, because you're the one, when we come together, who goes preachy first. Yes. But let me just throw this agreement fact in terms of how powerful it is. If you can ever truly achieve agreement, you automatically get God's attention. Even, watch this, if your agreement is not necessarily for righteous purposes.
And the example thereof is the Tower of Babel.
That's where I was going, Genesis 11.
Okay, it's good.
The Tower of Babel, that's my example.
I feel like I should be a pastor too.
Perhaps you are. Perhaps you do have that gift.
Pastor, radio pastor.
I'm sure. Pastoral gift. So Genesis 11, they came together. They wanted to build this tower. And I know some people don't even understand the text in terms of why did this get God's attention? Well, it got God's attention because the people, the scripture says, were one. They were united. We're going to build this tower. However, there was a problem, and the problem was they were going to build the tower to make a name for themselves. No mention of God, no honor to God, no glory to God. And God's like, what? No, I put too much in these people in terms of power.
And no acknowledgement.
And dominion authority. And to let them do this thing, to reject me, is not good. So let's go down there and see what's happening. But the point is, when you can come together on something, the power that you yield is limitless.
We got to do a podcast.
I think we should.
You know, I've been doing the podcast for the past like two months.
Right. You told me about it.
We got to do the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I believe that these things should be captured. I think when we start to have these kind of conversations, the confines of the traditional radio, a lot of persons may not necessarily be tuned in mentally, spiritually, and otherwise to being able to hear these things, but these are crucial.
Yes, sir.
It's crucial for where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
The entire concept, I had three conversations this morning, including yours.
Mm-hmm.
The entire concept of the foundation is to be able to shift the language that we use.
Yes. Yes. Powerful.
I think from a carnal, worldly perspective, the language has been shifted.
Mm-hmm.
They have commandeered a lot of the things that we use that we know from a traditional standpoint to represent one thing, and they've used it in the essence to be able to, you know, pitch this concept for what's happening, for what they want to do. Okay, let's be decent.
Good.
Give me an example, Howard. We know the rainbow. I just want to be decent. I know. Howard, you're going there quickly. I see your eyebrow going all the way up. Calm down, right? Just be decent, right? We know the rainbow represents a promise.
Mm-hmm.
The commitment, the covenant that was made to say that we'd never do this again by flood. We'll never do this again.
Uh-huh.
However, the commandeering of that in this day and time, it's peculiar to how it's happening now. The commandeering of this and the representation of it, even now, with your faith and your understanding, you will not touch a rainbow if you don't have affiliation with this particular grouping.
Right.
Their languages and whatnot that has been commandeered to be able to represent something else. However, we got to be able to take it back. And we have to be able to put clarity to this and say that this is what we stand for and this is what we mean. The foundation seeks to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The foundation seeks to be able to have a conversation locally to be able to dispel this conversation, this idea that says, well, it is what it is, and it ain't that serious, and all these. We have to be able to put significance to it to let you know that we're building for the future.
Mm-hmm.
This conversation that we're having, you and I, to talk about one people united in love and service is a crucial conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know whether or not the secretariat has taken on the course to be able to dissect it like that.
Right.
It felt good.
Right.
And we give God praise. Talk to me. We give God praise for them being in tune enough to understand that this is the season.
Yeah, indeed.
Watch me. Last time you and I sat here together, you started to talk about now we're standing. We are, the 51st year represents the outer bands.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Go ahead.
Represent the outer bands mm-hmm. that we are now on the outskirts and now mm-hmm. finding ourselves.
Yeah.
Now being able to step into our maturity, yep. the creativity, that individual aspect, the sovereignty that we all thought that we had prior. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for us to be able to grab hold of that. Talk to me about that.
So we are in a... You put so many deep things on the floor.
I keep trying to do that. Only because you're here. My guy.
So we are now headed into year 51. The founders of the nation, starting with the founder, Sir Lyndon, they have laid the foundation. They've laid the framework for who we are as a nation and the developmental path that we're supposed to be taking. I think... In the first 50, Sir Lyndon, along with his political sons, have done a pretty okay job in manning the ship of the Bahamas as a nation. And when I say pretty okay job, in terms of there's certain things that we can look at and celebrate. I know one time ago, a few years ago, right in the station, people were asking the question, what is there to celebrate? There's nothing to celebrate. We've done poorly. And when they say done poorly, most people say that from the particular standpoint of, from the budgetary standpoint, that since we've become a nation, an independent nation, the budget has been red, our finances. However, in balance to that, truthfully, is in the red because there has been a lot of seed and investing in developing our tourist product, in developing our educational product, in developing a lot of the infrastructure of our country. That's not to give anybody a bypass of not being shrewd and accountable with the finance of the nation, because when you're in government, you're supposed to be accountable to the people, and also, more importantly, accountable to God. So that should be integrity in terms of how you function. But I made the statement last year that we have come, I believe, to the end of what I call the Penland era. And when I said it, I don't say that in a negative light. I say that in terms of he and what he has done and invested in the nation and those who are tied to him. And when I say Penland, I'm only referring to Penland. I'm referring to the founders, the framers of the nation, framers of the Constitution, those who caught the baton from Penland to Ingram, to Christie, to Minnis. Those who caught that baton, the kind of developmental course that we've been on, I believe in terms of riding the wave of what he has done, we now cannot afford to just put everything on what he has done and blame our shortcomings on Penland and what that era did. We now have to stand on our own two feet and re-articulate, possibly even recalibrate the vision of our country going forward. Because there's now a generation that's come up and will be voting in the next few elections.
Just heavy what you're saying.
Do not know Penland.
And do not know the language of yesterday.
And could care, and they couldn't care less about
they do not
what
care.
Has happened before. It is so fascinating. My nephew's here. My children are teenagers. There's a certain language that we have. They cannot even relate to.
No.
The children who exist today, I don't care what level of poverty they are in this country, they are global citizens.
Yes.
They are entertained by what anybody in North America is watching, but what anybody in Europe may be watching.
Even Korea.
Even Japan. We have global citizens in our front rooms in Baytown.
That's crazy.
In Masons. In 8-Mile Rock.
That's crazy.
Because whether you expose them certain things or not, you put that phone in their hand, you put that iPad in their hand.
You expose them to the world.
They have gone beyond the limit or the boundaries of your home. So this is what I'm talking about,
yeah.
The end of a certain era. Because I know some people who are so politically drunk, they'll get offended. Please understand, in order to getting an understanding, hear what I'm saying. I'm saying that we now have to stand on our own two feet and clearly articulate how do we not only move forward as a nation, but how do we readjust ourselves in our development according to what's happening in the world around us. We're in, sorry to use this expression, I'm using it non-politically, but we are in a new day.
My God, you're getting heavy. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to take this commercial break and be able to dive into these things. I want you to join me right here on 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, the Foundation, here with none other than Ambassador Devin Rowe, being able to chop these things down. One people united in love and servant. What does it really mean to us? Let's chop this thing down. We're going to be right back after this.
I go to the well to get my water today. Get me wood from the bush to make my tea and eat my bread till I fill my belly. Then I get ready to go outside and play. Get my friends from next door.
Looking for great device deals and offers this summer? Look no further. Alive has special discounts on the latest smartphones, Ring devices, and accessories. Plus, as an Alive customer, you can expect exclusive Get Extra offers and rewards, which means even more value for your money. We're talking more data, prizes, and surprises. Upgrade with us and experience the perfect summer with Alive in store or at bealive.com/deals.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Doctors Hospital Specialist Clinic is where trusted and best care meets consistency and dedication. Let our expert specialists take you on a healthcare journey where warmth, compassion, and your well-being come first. From diagnosis to prescription, we are with you every step of the way, ensuring your peace of mind. Visit us today at Centerville Medical Center, Collins Avenue and 6th Terrace, and discover quality, compassionate healthcare at Doctors Hospital Specialist Clinic.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation here live and in full effect. Beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company. July 2nd. If you're celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We're out here being able to have good conversations as we're leading up to our 51st anniversary, identifying our independence time. And we always have these conversations. Now, we could take it from that kind of a cause to be able to make a determination that have we really moved anywhere? Have we gone anywhere? Has anything happened? We're always in the red. We're always these things. I'm sitting here with none other than Ambassador Devin Rowland and being able to talk about these things. And Ambassador, when we left off, we started to have this kind of a conversation. You started to talk about how a lot of persons right here in this station would have taken on a course to say that we haven't, what's there to celebrate? We haven't done anything. We haven't gone anywhere. And I think that that's sort of the same concept and idea that exists. Now watch me in this school. I can try to be these. I can try my hardest, right? We haven't, we've done the exact same thing locally. We've seen 9.6 million persons come into the country.
Yeah.
We've seen the government cut cake. Yeah. We've seen them celebrate, hold hands, cheer. We saw balloons. The entire thing was set up.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go to the taxi line, then when you go to these particular places locally, then when you go to the eateries, then when you look downtown, and you look at these particular spaces, you don't necessarily see the impact of the $9.6 million, but yet there's a celebration on one aspect.
Yes, sir.
Now, one time ago, we will have a conversation about the fact that this 1 million, the country's at 1 million visitors, right? We was excited about this. But there was a simultaneous explosion in society where taxi drivers were sending their children to college. Taxi drivers were sending their children to private schools. You saw persons, nurses, you saw jobs were available. The construction industry was moving. All these things were happening with 1 million tourists. So I want to know whether or not we're contrasting whether or not the country is moved based upon what's on the paper or whether or not we're looking at the people and making a determination of the intellectual capacity that we now retain, mm-hmm. about the fact that we've grown from an educational standpoint, mm-hmm. of the fact that we have thinkers in this space, mm-hmm. the fact that we've moved from colleges to university and being able to see things significantly move. We have yet to take into consideration that all these things and the accoutrements that exist externally, that what has actually been the crown of the Bahamas, we have not used it internally. My God, I just get preachy. I see this me getting preachy, let me calm down. We have not used it as a people. We have not grabbed hold of these particular things and said, okay, now it's time for me to contribute. There is still a very, even if it's not pronounced, a very subtle expectation for the government to do for me after all this education. After all these things, we are not participating the way that we should in our society, looking for someone to blame. Talk to me. One people united in love and service. Talk to me.
So, Howard, you know, I like you and what you do a whole lot. One of the reasons I like you, well, firstly, my mother liked you. Praise my God. Late dear mommy, who died just about 2.5 years ago. She called me talking about this guy called Howard. She said, Devin, I like him. And when I checked
him, I said, she know good things.
I said, mommy, he sounds very intelligent. I like him too. But here's the big reason I like you. Why I want to say this before I address what you just said. You present, through the show, by the grace of God, one of few places in our nation that's prepared to take the conversation about our nation's development beyond political factions. That's where in this season of my life I live. I love God. I love family. I love people. I love my country. And my love for my country is not skewed by colors.
No.
I want us to succeed, mm-hmm. politically, economically, socially, and above that, spiritually. Mm-hmm. Because I serve a king who says he's coming back and he's going to judge between sheep nations and goat nations. We can go into that another time on a deeper level. So this is very important for me. When I speak publicly, I always speak with that in mind. So I'm seeking to influence from a positive place. Now, one of the things you just touched just now is very important. You touched the fact that we have hit 9.6 million visitors. And I heard the exuberance of our present Minister of Tourism. He is anticipating going past the 10 million mark this year. I celebrate that.
I think we will too.
I celebrate what has been accomplished. It is magnanimous. I remember, I think it was back in... It's not old people now. Back in 1992, it might have been 1992, 1993.
In the
90s. When late Clement Maynard was making the announcement that we're about to hit 2 million. Mm-hmm. Our country went crazy. We were so excited that we were about to hit the 2 million mark of tourists. And we are about to hit 5 times that number. But we have a problem, Houston. And I've been saying it for the last several years. We have a problem whereby we are celebrating huge accomplishments. And I hope our government leaders, whether they be in power or in opposition, I don't care which one you're in, I hope you're listening to this because this is huge. We are celebrating monumental accomplishments. And I don't think we're taking into account enough that the average person in our nation at this time, they do not feel these accomplishments and the wealth that's attached to accomplishments in the inner city.
No.
I keep on calling this out, and I'm calling it out from a scriptural place too. Scripture says, where light cometh, darkness can no longer abide. So I'm bringing the light into this so that hopefully somebody with wisdom, because those who have heirs of wisdom will hear this and understand where I'm coming from. We have to do more to make sure that what we are experiencing from the tourist perspective, from the level of international investment perspective, that that is felt a little bit more strongly in our inner city communities. And this is not that hard to do. This is not that hard. All you need to do in some cases is remember where you started out and what it would have meant for somebody to help out with the electricity. What it would have meant. I grew up in Anguston. Me and all my brothers, one bedroom.
Let's have you what you're saying.
One bedroom. What sometimes, and I've done this for people, I've gone in almost every inner city community in this nation, and I'm sad to say that I've gone in several homes, and the only thing that was in the fridge was a bottle of water. How do we help to change this? And it's not that hard. It's not that hard to help people who are in abject poverty feel a little better.
Is it me, or it feels like the abject poverty has expanded significantly?
And that is
almost like a cancer.
That's where the cognitive dissonance, sorry, it was that big expression, but that's where the cognitive dissonance comes in, because you see and you hear with your ears and your eyes that things are improving drastically, but then in your small reality, it feels like it's getting worse.
It feels like a cancer. It feels like a cancer that moved from a small lump into this is now penetrating the marrow of our existence as a society. Mm-hmm. It feels like that. Mm-hmm. And I hate to use this analogy for those persons who are definitely battling and struggling with these particular things, but I need to be able to kind of lay this out like this. I could remember we had, in 8 Mile Rock, we had what we traditionally know as Joneses, right? Mm-hmm. We had three Joneses. Mm-hmm. Who opted to be Joneses. They wanted this lifestyle.
That's wrong to say in there.
They desired this lifestyle.
Right.
Every one of us, including the little children, would ask them, well, what you out here for? Grammy could give you someplace you want someplace to sleep? Nah, I'm good. Well, why are you in the garbage? That we would create something, a meal, and put it in the garbage for them. Or give them, listen, I'm telling you the truth. People from 8 Mile Rock, you know who I'm talking about. They would walk the road. They would smell horrible. And we could not understand this because the entire community was accessible to you. That your success lied on the community. We ensured that our people was taken care of. Mm. You was a part of us. Why you look like this? Mm. We had one who would sing. He would sing for quarters. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say his name. His family out here listening, mm-hmm. right? But he would sing for quarters. Mm-hmm. And he would just like, allow him to pimp, the ladies pimp. And you would say, switch, ain't no stopping. I'm telling you, he's talented people, right? And then we give him like a quarter of a dollar.
A walking DJ system.
Hey, my grandfather was a barber. He kept asking, do you want your hair cut, so forth and so on. I'm simply saying, I want to get to a point. These people were up. They took on the liberty and the independence to say that I choose to live in this particular lifestyle. That they had a choice. That they could eat every single day, 3-4 meals a day. Mm-hmm. That every tree was available to you cascading over the roads, mango trees, canep trees, or guava trees, everything in 8 Mile Rock accessible to you, but you chose this lifestyle. That's not happening in this country now. What's happening in this country now is that you seek and desire an opportunity for survival. Mm-hmm. And what you're met with is a closed door. You're met with, what is your political affiliation? You're met with, where's your brotherhood? You're met with the affiliations and organizations that set up in subsectors that supposed to give you access, mm-hmm. and everybody else is shut out. So I want to talk about the country from this particular perspective.
Yes.
When we start to talk about this one people united, mm-hmm. we have become so consumed with ourselves. We've become consumed with ourselves with this sort of an idea of it's for when they start to talk about family, friends, and lovers, mm-hmm. that has become the mantra that is the banner of so many persons' hearts. Hey, look here, let me get me first. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily concern themselves with the community at hand.
Yes.
The men and women that put together the pledge, the national anthem,
yep.
these concepts and ideas, these people were linked significantly.
Yes, indeed.
And eternally indeed. To the community.
Indeed.
They understood their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening now? What's happening now that the more education we get, we receive, Right. The more exposure we get. When you hear Loftus Rooker tell a story about how he only had X amount of pennies in his pocket and he went off to school and he only knew the yet, he didn't even know he was poor. And I had to tell him, I said, you was poor. He said, well, I didn't know, Howard. I didn't know.
You gotta let him know.
I said, hey, listen, sir, you was poor. Hey, listen, be very clear about this, right? He didn't know.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that.
He came back with a very clear understanding that his responsibility, a man from Acklands, was not to contribute merely to Acklands, but to contribute to the growth and the development of the entire Bahama land. This man was in Acklands. Someone talk to me. I'm getting deep now.
Yeah.
He was in Acklands and understood the spirit of what existed the entire countrywide.
Mm-hmm.
And he contributed with the same passion and tenacity in Nassau that he would have done when he was farming potatoes in Acklands.
Mm-hmm.
This was the spirit that existed here.
Yeah.
This sort of an idea of contribution and community before self was what existed.
Yeah.
Not now.
So, but I think you answered your own dilemma that you highlighted in terms of addressing the spirit of the age, which is not just Bahamian, it's kind of what's happening globally. And however, I believe the Bahamas has been ordained and blessed by God to be a prototype of what works to the world.
I like this.
If we embrace it and do what we know we should do. The gentleman you highlighted who refused a better life.
He rejected it.
Rejected a better life. I can relate to that because I know.
Listen, he died in the state. He died in the state.
Yeah.
And people offered him a place to stay, a place to live. Let's say you want something, they would give him shoes. He would, listen, you think this is a joke? He would put it in the garbage.
I have had several people like that in my life who have tried to help over the years. You caused me to think about people just now when you gave that story. In that scenario where you're highlighting the fact that the people back then, part of the challenge there was mentality. And because you and I are spiritual, we know that if you drop your guards spiritually, your mind can be put in a position of decay by demonic agents. And if you embrace the lie, then it can easily become strongholds.
That's heavy what you said.
And strongholds are very difficult to break on your own, even with a prayer life.
Yeah, these times you just don't lose with prayer.
No.
They come with fasting and prayer. Much fasting.
You need some
power. Much fasting.
That comes through much fasting and prayer, right? And so, and there's a statement that goes, I learned from many years ago when I was in Delaware on a trip. The guy says, right action can never change wrong thinking, but right thinking always changes wrong action. So there's a mentality that has to be dealt with.
That's why the poor will always be with you.
Because they had you hear my thoughts before I'm saying it.
It ain't nothing to do with tangible finances within your pocket.
No.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. And so this is why the foundation and shows like this and people with our kind of mindset are so important to the age, because we have a little leaven leavens the whole loaf.
My God.
We have to sow seeds that will begin to change the mindsets of our people, because what you highlighted there were people who were in bondage and did not want to do better. And you're saying now we have a situation where there are people who want to do better, but it's like those who are doing better couldn't care less about these people. So there's this spirit of, I'm going for mine. It's my season. I want my family to do better. I ain't checking for nobody else. Every man for himself. And we are forgetting one people united in love and service. And the question that I heard while you were talking this now is, am I my brother's keeper?
Am I?
And if we are at that point where we are responding to our brothers in need like that, whether we're in government, church, business, whatever capacity, we have a serious problem, because the chain is only as strong as the weakest link.
Yeah.
You can't see that inner city majority crumbling, killing themselves, fighting for food, robbing to feed the baby. You can't see this happening and not be concerned and ask the question, how do we go in there and bring change? How do we bring help? How do we not feed the spirit of entitlement, but how do we empower?
It's crazy.
Mama ain't got no education, But them children at least finished high school. How can we empower them?
Grammy didn't have no education. She had 15 children, mm-hmm. right? She Grammy would tell you things like, child, I got, you ask them, you say, well, mama, my God, you lived this long. How much children you got? Well, child, I got 9 children living. And you ask her, and then you, with maturity and understanding of this society, you'd realize that 9 children living mean that some passed off
yes.
in the first trimester.
Yeah.
Some passed off in birth.
Yeah.
Some was maybe stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? You realize that someone died very young. Things
right.
happen.
Right.
And you realize that all this happened without medicine. All this happened with the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
This wasting that we get down to Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like this like the manger effect that many of our brothers and sisters, our uncles, our fathers and grandfathers was born into this space.
Yes, sir.
And they are thriving. They are now thriving
mm-hmm.
in the Bahama land that they have forgotten to give back.
Come on.
They have forgotten to give back. Yes. They have forgotten that you know what, the midwife was the only Christian woman in the room. My God, I just want to be decent. The midwife's responsibility was to get warm water, towels, and pray. That's all she did. Mm-hmm. I had a midwife for my first child. I thought she was going to do something special. She said, Howard, you know how to pray? Come on, let me tell you something. That's like paying you to pray. Ah. I love this nurse hall. She was the midwife again for my next baby.
Do you know how to pray?
That's what she said. Howard, you know how to pray? She said, it's very important to pray now, baby.
Mm-hmm.
She brought the spirituality. What brought you here? You've rejected. And now we want to have a conversation about how do we get back to one people united. One people united. There is segregation. There is separation.
Yeah.
There is this sort of an idea that there's them and there's us.
Right. We have to dismantle it.
Oh, they're taking care of Haitians. They're taking care of white people. They're taking care of the foreigners. They're taking care of the Jamaicans. They're taking care of everybody. They ain't taking care of us. But you yourself are not united. We're not united
yeah.
to be able to stand and say, Bahamian first. We're not united.
I give an example of unity. And I got this from a fellow preacher. Many people out there may know him, Bishop Noel Jones. Noel Jones said there was a couple from Jamaica he knew many, many years ago. So they lived together. They were married. And he said, I'm going to get the figure right, but this is the idea of what he shared. He said their rent for where they lived in their matrimonial home, I think, was $500 a week. And said they struggled every month. They couldn't make the rent.
$500 a week?
$5 a month, sorry, not a week. $500 a month was the rent.
Jesus.
And they fought, and fought, because they had a lot of strife in their home, and they could never meet the rent. They finally got so mad at each other, they broke up. And when they broke up, the guy got a house on his own for $1,000.
He could pay for
$1,000 a month. And the wife got a place of her own for $800 a month, and they paid it with ease. And then Bishop Jones says, do you know what happened there? He says, it's difficult to accomplish anything where there's strife in the midst.
That's heavy what
you said. He said, together, they couldn't pay $500. But separately, they paid $1,800 without struggle. There's a scripture, I think it's in Galatians 3 and 16. I'll have to check it. It says, where there's strife, there's every evil work. If it's not Galatians, it's James. I'm going to find it right now. But I think that scripture is very important. Where there is strife,
there's
every
socially evil there is strife.
Work.
Yes. This is going to lead me to another question, which is off topic. You think this is why he got married late? He wasn't prepared to get into strife? My God, I'm going to be decent with Bishop Noel Jones. I enjoy him. City of Refuge. I was actually to his church.
Oh, really?
I went to his church. I went to church, sat in the front row.
It's James 3, 16 and 17. Thanks.
James 3, 16 and 17.
Yeah, where there's strife, there's every evil work.
I love this. I always love his preaching. I always love his teaching. I always love these
particular things. But he testified. We can speak to since he spoke publicly. He said, because he was married before, and there was a lot of strife there because he was always gone. He put ministry and the church people before marriage and the home. And he says, for wife, she couldn't deal with it.
We got to talk about this.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this kind of a strife that exists internally within our nation. Mm-hmm. Even the strife of having a conversation collectively to talk about and identify the independence that we're in. There are people who are waiting to call right now
yeah.
to tell me about Howard, we are not independent. I'm telling you. And I said this yesterday. We've already gone through this. Mm-hmm. Year in and year out, we've already talked about sovereignty. We've already talked about self-governance. We already talked about these things, but we're still here. Mm-hmm. And if every year, annually, we're only waiting for an opportunity to say how wrong these persons are, we've waited, we've wasted 364 days of productivity to wait for an opportunity to say something that you've already said. That makes no difference to life. Let's be decent.
What?
You got to save this for 1 o'clock. I got to take this break.
Good.
All right? You got to take this break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. We're having a conversation. I'd love you guys to be able to join us on the second part of this. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I'm here with none other than Ambassador Devin Rule. We're talking one people united in love and service. Be right back after news.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Attention pizza lovers! Marco's Prince Charles has the deal of the summer for you! Head in and order a mouth-watering large one-topping pizza for just $10. You heard right, just $10! Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today!
This amazing carryout offer is available for a limited time
and only at Marco's Prince Charles. This is a deal you don't want to miss because everything's better with Marco's.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motor's new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, here live and in full effect on this beautiful Tuesday, a rainy Tuesday, guys. I hope that you're good out there. I hope that you get your eye in my truck now, and I realize that the tire is slipping in the back. I got to go buy some new tires. But I'm hoping that you go there good and being able to get some things. I would not. This is where we shamelessly plug your business right there. Go down to get your tires. But you wouldn't call me. 827-0111. I'm not going to fight you. 827-0111. You can be able to get those things done. Guys, it's a beautiful day. We're here talking about one people united in love and service with none other than a very, 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 very good friend of mine and a very good friend to the show, none other than Ambassador Devin Rule. My brother, it is wonderful to have you, wonderful to have these conversations. The lines are wide open, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to join in, I'd love you to do so. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Let me see if I can take this call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. No? Guys, the lines are wide open. Okay, so it came back, okay? Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
It's a grand.
Hey.
Good afternoon. We're talking about Love One Bahamas, right?
Yes.
Mr. Grand, I'll say like Jesus said, and oh, good afternoon to your guests too.
Good afternoon, sir.
I'll say like Jesus said in the book of Revelation, and I believe this suit the Bahamas. We are poor, wretched, and naked. Love is going out through the winners in this Bahamas. Mr. Grant, for when you look and you see what is going on in our little beautiful Bahamas, in the south, where they had the church the other day, look what happened. Big broke down. Is that love? You look in the north, there was a church. Then one sister fight another sister, hit her in the head with her shoes. Is that love? When a brother could take up a gun and shoot his fellow brother.
Not his fellow love? Brother. Don't make it seem like there's brothers in the Lord. They actual blood brothers.
Yes, but I just sinners telling you.
Talk to
a
me.
A church in the south.
Mm-hmm.
A church in the south. You know this church what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, but I won't call the church name.
Okay.
When a church could take another pastor to court and they can't reason out, is that love?
Mm.
Now we're talking about love, culture. Love cover a multitude of sin. When you see somebody's little storefront church, just go and open up church because why? We can't listen to what the pastor say no more. We don't want to go like that, so we go open up on our little storefront church and start operating in church. See, we have to know, define what is love. Love is not just when I can give you and whatever. Love go beyond these things. And as we going to celebrate our 51st anniversary, that we could come together and love one another, like how when we was growing up, when you could knock on the door and say, Mama say, give her a little bit of sugar until she come home from work.
Mm-hmm.
Mama say, give her a little bit of rice that she could cook until she go to shop tomorrow. That is finished with. That is no more. When you could go to church and you just finished celebrating, but when you come out of church, the sisters or brother leave you right in the parking lot. They don't even ask you, how where you going?
Wow.
You understand?
Wow.
We have to get real and speak the truth.
Wow.
Thank you.
I appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so very kindly, Ambassador. I'm going to let you touch that.
Well, he is highlighting something. It may sound simple and people may be tired of hearing it, but the caller suggests to us that there is a standard that, particularly in our churches, that should be provided and modeled. That is not happening in many spaces. And what he did just now, I think is necessary. I used the term or the scripture before where it says, where light come and darkness can no longer abide. And we need to call these things out, not from a bashing standpoint, but we need to call them out to say, this is wrong and we need to revert. We need to change and come back to righteous alignment. Where when evil men remain silent, it is said that evil flourishes. So
I won't be decent with this. I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put no labels on it. I don't want to put no names to it. But I want to ask you a question from a macro perspective.
Right.
Do you believe that the standard that should be raised in the Bahamian church, the Christian church in the Bahamas, do you? And you started to talk about coming into alignment with these particular concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Has it gone contrary? Has it gone in the inverted perspective where the church has come in alignment with the objectives of the government in comparison with the government being able to come into a... See, I know you did. I won't be decent. I won't be decent. My God. I won't be decent.
Are you sure?
I do. I am sure. I want to be decent, but, you know, sometimes it don't necessarily convey. I'd like to be able to ask that question because if we're going to have a real conversation about one people united in love and service, when you start to talk about James 16 and 17, right? When you start to talk about this kind of an idea that the only reason that we're contentious, the only reason that we go contrary to the objective of being able to get to profitability or growth is when there is the spirit of contention, right? Let's just shoot straight. there is contention that exists in our country. I don't know if it's between the government, the church, the people, the church. I don't know how it is, but there is a spirit that looms over. And it seems as though we can get to productivity.
Right.
As much as we're celebrating this kind of an idea, especially in the year of our celebration, being able to come off the heels of a 50th anniversary and stepping into the 51st right now, as much as we want to be able to celebrate 9.6 million people, 10 million people, we're not feeling it on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're having conversations about the possibility of being able to see our grandmothers and mothers work to possibly 67 years old. This is social fodder now. Socially, people are having these conversations. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see NIB have this kind of a conversation about the fact that, hey, we're going to be in increasing rates. You need this for your future, so forth and so on. People talking about pensions, all these things about surviving
mm-hmm.
in our country. And we don't want to be able to have a real conversation about where the genesis of our issue starts. Where's the anchor that continues to be able to tether us to this non-productive place? How can we loose those shackles, those chains, and get to a place of productivity and growth? And I don't think that we're having that kind of a conversation, because I think a lot of us is do our best to tiptoe around it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the church. It's almost like when you had that pedophile in your family. But let's be decent.
Yeah.
Grammy them knew that it was a problem. They never called the police for him, but they would tell the children, child, y'all watch out. Don't go around Junior. This is what's happening in the church. This is what's happening in the country. I won't be decent with this. Not necessarily only in the church. People are tipping toe around issues that are detrimental to the health and welfare of our nation. We ain't talking about it. We're not being real with it, and we're putting any and everyone in these particular places because they can articulate and string a few sentence of words together and be dynamic, but they don't have the conviction and understanding that we are building a nation. And we need to leave a legacy and inheritance for our children's children. Where is the wisdom in this? Talk to me about it.
Well, I'm trying to be Mr. Nice and Diplomatic Guy today.
I see that.
As we launch into this independence, 51st independence season, and I see you intentionally trying to bring up
these are hard questions.
The political side of me.
These are hard. But there's no way that we could patty cake around the issues that we've endured
right.
for more than 51 years.
It's time to shift.
We got to do it.
Okay, let's test this. So you talked about the church reflecting the government as opposed to the inverse. And if that is happening, then we're functioning upside down because the church is a called out people. According to Matthew chapter 5, we're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to be the city set upon a hill. We're on the hilltop for a reason, to be an example, to be light, to keep things in the proper perspective, focusing, making the main thing the main thing, not becoming sidetracked and pursuing that which is carnal, individualistic, and self-motivated in terms of I want to advance me. There can never be true progress where there is no collective vision. And so it's huge. Part of the huge problem is everybody is so self-focused. And truth is, we have to remember that even when we have our leaders, whether they're pulled out in the church or pulled out in government or pulled out in business, these leaders come from the community. And if this mindset of me, and not us has been developed in the person, when they get in elevated positions, this is what they function in. I have argued for the longest time that people who are put in positions of leadership, especially when it comes to governance, when it comes to politics, when it comes to church, ought to be people who have a track record of loving and helping people. Why would I empower somebody who does not have a desire to help people and put them in a position where the mandate is to help people? And I said, whether that's in the church, whether that's in the community, whether that's in government, this is what we need to do, because whatever is elevated will be reproduced. And I'll say that again because it's very important. Whatever is elevated will be reproduced. You put a fashion star out there who's lost their mind, is not focused on what they're supposed to be doing, dresses lewd, and yet they have the spotlight, then all of your children are going to end be by what's elevated. We have to be careful about what we elevate. If we want this thing to shift, we need to, I'm going to join Howard and get preaching. We need to come out from amongst them, which is really not dealing with segregation and separatism to that point. It means come out from the mindset of the culture that is decadent. Connect back to your source, which is God, who is holy, who is pure, who is fair, who is balanced, who is just, who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Come back, coming out from amongst that which does not reflect God, be locked into what you are supposed to be in terms of giving honor to your God, giving service to him, because when you have that kind of mindset, you don't have to be selfish and all about advancing self, because once you come into alignment with God, he makes it his business to bless and to advance you, whether that's the individual, the family, the church, or the government, or the nation. If we believe this, and according to our Constitution, we're supposed to believe it, an abiding respect for Christian principles, then we need to grab a hold of this. We need a model. We need a prototype. We need a people, a remnant who will be that true example, and then find your way into the levels of the community so that we can bring about the change that we need to see, so that we can be the change that we need to see. I hope I'm saying this clear enough. And even as we talk about this, united in love, in unity, love, and service, love, unity, and service, it is important to get to that last part, the service part. I was just talking about this ironically on Sunday. Matthew 23:11. This is Jesus speaking, this in red. He who will be greatest amongst you must be servant of all. Is that the kind of mindset that we see elevated in our nation today, in the nations today? Do you see people burning with a passion to serve?
What stood out to me when you started to talk about this, he says the church is on the hilltop for a reason. And I keep saying that's heavy. You started to be able to give an example of how the church is from an internal standpoint, to be able to identify locally that everyone could be able to ascend their eyes and understand that this is the true north, right? That's from an internal standpoint. But from an external standpoint, for those who are coming in,
right,
this is the beacon.
Right.
This is the light source. This is a very clear understanding that this is the representation of what we stand for as a nation, as a people. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard in this day and age where they call it the alphabet communities, right? Various. And I'm not just talking about those of alternative lifestyles. I'm talking about different communities, different mindsets, different theologies, different concepts, organizations, so forth and so on, that exist globally, that are coming into our countries. There isn't a standard bearer. My God.
Preach that word.
I can't preach it. I try to calm down, but I can't do it, right? There isn't a standard bearer, right? There isn't a standard bearer in this particular space. And so I wanted to be able to do this because elevation on the hilltop is not only for internal. It's both external.
Yes, sir.
And this is why I have been very stern in my posture and position of being able to dissect what I believe leadership should look like. And I get some cussing for it from leading into the Free National Movement's convention. Mm-hmm. I get some cussing for that. But I had to stay steadfast in what I believed. Because I don't have no way to scrutinize you after you didn't get yourself straight.
No.
I can't scrutinize you after that. You're straight. You don't care what Howard say. You're straight.
Yeah, you're straight.
After you didn't get what you got to get, you're straight. So the scrutiny and being able to identify whether or not your convictions will hold, mm-hmm. whether or not you're tethered to the anchor that holds, mm-hmm. and you can be able to stand up in the last days and age as the world comes in and descends upon us and say that this is what you should do, these are the treaties you should sign, this is what the world's doing, mm-hmm. whether or not you and your collective will be the type of men that can be able to hold the banner up for the country.
Hold it up high.
Hold it up.
Tell the road you've trod.
Who do we stand for? Who do we believe in this country?
Yes, sir.
Are we going to be wishy-washy and say, well, you know, the preamble never really said we was a Christian nation. It said we are a abiding nation with Christian, we identify these Christian principles.
Yeah.
But not necessarily. Come on, stop it, man. Stop it.
Yeah.
Because when the midwife was telling your grandmother, push. Oh, Miss Lula, hold on, baby. Push, and your daddy was coming out, and all they had was prayer. That's how you get here.
Yeah,
but you forget about that. My God, I just get preachy quickly. Yeah? These people didn't hear this.
Yeah, yeah.
You forget about this.
Forget the interline.
You forget that you didn't have Dr. Sands.
No. No.
My God, I won't be decent.
Right.
When Papa had an issue, when he said palpitation, you didn't have a Dr. Sands. Mm-hmm. You only had the elders to pray. My God, we can talk.
My daddy, I think it was 12, he said he was, dropped out of the top of the tree in Andrus, in South Andrus, and was they stopped breathing, passed out, no doctor, no clinic, no plane. This must have been like late 1940s or just the turn of 1950s. All they had was a block of ice and prayer. And he came back. Glory to God. So I know.
Well, you're here.
I
wouldn't have been here.
I wouldn't have been here.
My God.
I wouldn't have been here. Glory to God.
People just forget about these things.
Yeah.
People just forget about these things.
Yeah.
They only remember when they tell me they had a near-death experience. My God, I almost did. Oh, God, how are they? You know, boy, listen to me. I know last time I prayed, but I had to pray then.
Yeah.
The country is at a near-death experience. We are about to lose ourselves, not from an economic standpoint. Don't worry about this the figment of your imagination that is that is a stable economy. The world is getting into a tumultuous position.
Yes, sir. Say that again. That is good.
The world.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the sir. World over, if you are paying attention, Hurricane Beryl is barreling through the South Caribbean right now.
Yes.
We've already identified that there is one death when I wake up this morning.
Yep.
Are we talking?
Yep. They're saying that we're not in the harm's way of the storm, and I pray it stays that way. Listen, even how I said that, I pray it stays that way.
Talk to me.
If it were to change,
we saw some shift.
No amount of money can stop it from coming. What would we need then? A God intervention. Why not then? Why not therefore have a God relationship that's continual? My God.
I just want to talk like this. I just want to be able to say these things that we're talking about. One people united in love and service. Whilst I love this, I love the idea, but I believe that it panders to our softer side, and it doesn't really being able to jolt and wake up a reality that is slumbering, a community that is as asleep and content with the fact that no, they got it. Let them deal with that. They got the wheel, and we could sleep on a Titanic.
No, sir.
My God, how you could sleep on a Titanic?
No.
How?
Mm-mm.
Is the music that sweet?
The violin's playing.
What is happening as we go down? We could see. Listen, you already shifted in your bed. You trying to figure out how you then roll on this side. We going down, and you're still in bed. We as a people have to wake up. I just want to be decent as I say this. Let me take a telephone call. Guys, the lines are wide open. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I wanted to ask you a question. You started to say you duplicate or you replicate whatever you elevate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you could be able to see multiplicity from that thing that's been elevated as everybody looks at this as a true north, what have we locally, what have we elevated?
Boy, you are on it today. Generally?
What have we elevated? What are you seeing duplicated in our society that there must be this sort of an idea of elevation? There must be, whether pronounced or otherwise, that people are looking at this as a true north in comparison to what should be elevated?
For example, we have for a long time in our journalistic, in our papers, newspapers, we've elevated crime. And the criminal element gets prime spot in the newspapers, prime spot on the news broadcast itself. And I know that no negative is intended by that, but by virtue of this elevation, I believe it contributes to the reproduction of it. When in contrast, it's harder for the positive accomplishments, because they are there, of our young people will possibly be later in the newscast or later in the newspaper. And so we wonder why we don't see more of it being reproduced, because if it is going to be reproduced, we must elevate it and we must celebrate it. We tend to show and broadcast a lot of the negative things that are done, if people, for example, I won't call anybody names, of course, there are sometimes people who amass great wealth, and everybody knows this by negative means, but we don't care. What we care about is the fact that they have plenty of money, and so we celebrate that fact. And when you elevate and celebrate somebody who's gotten wealth through negative means, you just told all of the young generation,
you could do this too.
This is what you ought to do.
This is how you do it. That's crazy what you're saying. That's why the gold chains and all the drug dealers.
Indeed. So
they don't even know that they are this representation. I just remember when I was young, we had drug dealers in our community. I care not to call their names because everybody know them.
Mm-hmm.
We had drug dealers in our community with more chains than Mr. T.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know about that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're driving around on a new bike every day,
mm-hmm.
wheelie from one side of 8 Mile Rock to the next. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This is what's been elevated.
And another way we elevate a lot of negative stuff too is by our silence. So you see the person with the horrible attitude, workspace, school, church, and you just tiptoe around them and you never call them out for their bad posture or what they just said or what they just did. By that elevation, you see to those who are viewing, this is how you conduct yourself.
The silence gives consent.
The silence gives consent. And when you have, and then you castigate, this is another elevation, you castigate the people who call out the wrong, who say, let's press for the higher ideal, let's do this right.
That's heavy, what you're saying.
And you throw stones and you make them the evil one.
Wow.
Then this is why we get an upside down culture where evil is celebrated and righteousness is scorned.
This is heavy what you're saying. Because as I sit here and I think about these things, guys, I want you to be able to join in the conversation if you're there. I know that you're in tune and really being able to wrap up in this, but I know that you have something to offer, and I'd love to hear from you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of violence, I'd love you to give me a call. 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up 422-4796. It says, hello, Howard. We can't have love without first having ourselves and for others. As a text is coming through, another one that says, sure. Great show. Howard, could you tell Shamika Roll happy birthday from Zine Vaughn? Hope that she has a very good day today. Zine, I hope this is your wife, or you're trying to cut up via Howard Grant's show. You need to stop. Shamika, happy birthday, my dear. She's a roll now. You got to watch out for Miss Roll. She can have about 1,000 children. Praise God for her. You know the rules. It's a role right now. Ask him, his daddy can tell him, right?
Indeed.
Right, it's a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. We're here, we're having good conversation. We're here being able to talk about these things. Like I said, the lines are wide open if you want to do that. You know what? I'm just grateful to have these kind of an honest, open conversations. And I'm hoping that persons are receptive to understand that this is no ill will. This is not to be able to identify and crucify those men and women in position of leadership, but to be able to talk about the fact that this seat requires a higher standard. My God. Mm-hmm. The seat that is elevated in this position that we have elevated, mm-hmm. that we educate, that our country, that's heavy what you're saying, mm-hmm. that's heavy what I did just now. Let's watch this, right? The seat that is elevated in our country that will we seek in our communities to duplicate leadership to be able to put them on this seat so we could be proud mm-hmm. to say that, my God, 8 Mile Rock has provided us this. West Grand Bahama has provided us this. Bayonetown has done this. And we elevate these persons to this position. But the only way that they could retain this position is to duplicate the actions of other men and women in this space.
Mm-hmm.
The mm-hmm. actions that have no morality.
Yeah.
The actions that have already had a preamble that says, all for me, baby. The actions that continue to be able to reject the posture of what's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Reject the principles, the constitution, the idea of being able to hold this standard, but being able to say, well, this is not against the law. This might not necessarily be illegal, but no one has a conversation about whether or not it's immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a very clear conversation, right? And I wanted to be able to do that. Guys, I see your lines lit up. I don't know whether or not something's wrong with the phone. I see the lines lit up, but I see you gone. So talk to me about that.
Why are you sending this now? The thought of to whom is given much, much is required.
Absolutely.
And I want to say this, Bahamas, even as we get ready to celebrate year 51, we have been extremely blessed as a nation. There's something unique and significant about this country. What we have produced as a nation of, 450,000 or less, for a long time we were at 250,000 to 300,000, is absolutely miraculous. I was just watching the 2000 Olympic girl win. When they won the 4x400.
The Golden Girls?
Yes, the Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. We were the smallest nation to have ever won a gold for a team sport in the Olympics, which is truly significant. We had, from the day of Sir Durbin winning the gold medal in the Olympics, we have so many things to celebrate. The leadership that was displayed when, once we became an independent nation, is almost like automatically things shifted in the Caribbean and everybody started looking towards the Bahamas as this economic model. That was bold for us to shift the narrative in terms of how we were going to develop economically. The prowess and the genius of Dr. Miles Monroe, whose message, breakthrough message on purpose and kingdom, became, and to this day, still like one of the main messages of the entire globe.
Yes.
When it comes to faith, this is extremely significant. How we're standing out, even recently, jumping on the whole climate change, our present leader is getting a lot of attention. A few years ago, it was only me and Motley that you were hearing about. Now they're bragging on us. When you have that kind of elevation, the point I'm making is there's great responsibility that comes with it. Yes. Let me tell you why. Because elevation or promotion only comes from God. Do you know that? Promotion comes only from God. And so if he is the source behind promotion, I think he's the one who we must be accountable for in terms of representation. When you are, anything that you are elevated in, there is an automatic expectation that character comes with your elevation. I think I need to say that again. Whenever you are elevated, this is not church talk here. This is globally. And I'll tell you, whenever someone is elevated, there's the expectation that character follows this individual. So, for
you
example,
be above reproach.
There are people in Hollywood, there are people in R&B and hip hop and different kinds of things, or the wealth tycoons. When you hear that they've been scheming on their wife, or they've been cheating, or they raped somebody, what a shock. Why are you shocked? They never told you that they were spiritual. No, but you expected because of the elevation that there was a level of character and integrity there. If we have that innately, what do you think God has? Of course, especially when the elevation has come by his power, by his grace, by his mercy, there's an expectation now that because people are going to be looking at you because of your promotion, you're going to give some kind of representation that encourages their walk of faith, that encourages them to live with integrity, that encourages them to acknowledge God and give him glory for whatever it is that you've accomplished.
My God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're here live in full effect. I got to take this commercial break and get you right back into the conversation. Like I said, if you want to be able to participate, the lines are wide open. Please do so. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation. Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Get ready to celebrate independence the BK way with our new Independence King Combos. Choose from our classic flame grilled beef or indulge in a crispy chicken breast topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, cheese, and our special tropical sauce. Both come with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation perfect for celebrating every year. Remember to top off your Independence King Combo with a delicious guava sundae or the new guava ice shaker, available only at Burger King Nassau.
Your health just got brighter with Lamp Insured. Sign up for Doctors Hospital's Lamp Insurance Supplement Plan and enjoy copay waivers and complete access with no upfront ER or inpatient collections. Only $30 per month. Visit doctorshosp.com/lamp to sign up or contact 242-822-1009. That's 242-822-1009. Your journey to affordable and worry-free healthcare begins now.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation, live and in full effect. Beautiful to be in your company this day, Tuesday, just still being able to have a conversation about one people united in love and service, which is a motto that came out from the Bahamas Secretariat about this year, our 51st anniversary, as we're celebrating leading up to July 10th. And I'm sitting here with none other than my very good friend, Ambassador Devin Rowe, just being able to break this thing down and identify these things and breaking down how do we get to the position that we are one people. How do we find ourselves united in this kind of a position as one people, one mindset? If we're unified in our thought that we can do anything together, then commit ourselves to both love and service. We're having a conversation with none other, like I said, than Ambassador Devin Rowe, and really trying to find out how we get into this position. Okay, Ambassador, now, as we wrap this up, talk to me about this. What are some of the things that we need to do as a people, whether that is from a small personal perspective or from a community perspective? What are some of the things that we need to do to really realign ourselves with the overarching objective of this one people united in love and service?
Okay, so, you know, very often we come and by obligation we challenge our government and our politicians to do better and to create the opportunities, which I think we're supposed to do because it is their responsibility. But I don't want people to listen to us and think that we are advocates for you sitting down and waiting for the government and leaders to drop opportunities in your lap. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. Opportunities come from God. I've been arguing that for the last several minutes. Your responsibility, however, is to prepare yourself for opportunities to come. And you will never prepare yourself if you have a spirit of entitlement as though somebody owes you something. The playing field is wide open, Bahamians listening to me right now. It is important for you to get your vertical relationship with God in order, because that helps
the
horizontal ones mm-hmm. to be a whole lot more easier. You're going to always have clashes with people. You know why? Free will allows us to develop certain personality types. And so there will be certain people who you naturally mesh with and certain people who you clash with. But when you have your vertical relationship right, God gives you a grace to deal with the peculiarities that you have to face with different personalities. What you need to focus on, however, is your gift. Every human being has been given a gift from above. You need to become the best at something. You need to be known for something. And now, because of the advancement of technology, which I believe has been God-driven, because of the advancement of technology, no Bahamian is limited to just servicing the local market. Make your gift good, and people will find you from Timbuktu, wherever that is, and come for your service. So this whole notion that people united in love and service. We need to grab hold, particularly in this hour, of the service aspect of who we are as a people. You guys come to me, for example, in the mall yard, in Super Value shopping, all the time. Can I have a dollar? Can I have $2, man? I need to get something to eat. Here's what I say to them, because we need to get this spirit of industry, which we toot in our Constitution preamble. We need to get the spirit of industry back into the spirit of the Bahamian. I would normally say to the guys begging for a dollar, why didn't you offer me to wash my car? I said, you could have gotten 15. And I will stop sometimes if they're not offended, because a lot of them are offended. They don't want to hear talk. They just want money for whatever purpose they want to use it for. But those who stop and listen, I said, listen to me. Stop coming in this yard and begging for money. You are strong. You are intelligent. You have abilities. Offer to serve in a capacity. Tell a person you're willing to wash the car. Tell a person you're willing to come in and weed the yard and wash. We have to stop this whole notion that work is a sickness. Like you're allergic to work.
Money day.
This is found. Money is flowing, and money finds people who are prepared to work. If you are prepared to work, stop looking for excuses for why you don't have opportunities. Prepare yourself and go and seek opportunities. The proof of desire is pursuit. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you want something and I can't see you pursuing it. Your pursuit should say to me what you're looking for, what you're hoping for. And so we need that kind of mentality to come again where we didn't treat work as though it was a curse. I have a brother who's a contractor, and he said to me years ago, he said, Devin, it's so difficult to find workers. He said, I got guys coming on the job, and they will work for one or two paychecks just to get a Jordan pair of tennis, and then they quit. So how are you going to eat going forward? We have to attack that mindset. Fathers need to take responsibility for their children. Once again, whether you and the woman are together or not, we ought to see it as a duty that we have to instill some survival skills in our young people. We need to attack wrong attitudes again. It is not okay for the child to be answering you what? That's not cool. It's not okay for you to be going to fight an adult for correcting your child for the wrong posture or for doing the wrong thing. You should back it. You should enforce it. We need to bring these simple things that we've discarded as though they're minuscule and don't mean anything and bring them back to the core. Because if we develop character, if we develop a spirit for work, if we develop a spirit of excellence, you think this country is doing good. I think we're in a season now where the world is so open to the Bahamas, and I don't usually come on radio without attacking this too. I wish we would lose this mentality where everybody, all of our high school students, can't wait to go to college because they don't want to come back. I rebuke that kind of mindset, because we live in one of the greatest nations in the world of any size, and you should be looking to see how can I come back home and help to further the development of the Bahamas. I'm talking a lot here, Howard. Please jump in.
No, I like what you said. I wrote it down. I said, vertical relationship. Make sure that we can be able to work on this vertical relationship.
Yeah.
Number two, to be able to develop our gift, develop your specific gift, to be able to present yourself accordingly. Number three, get the spirit of industry back into the Bahamas. This is important. Number four, you started to talk about attack wrongdoings. I think this is important stuff. I like this here. Let me see if we can take a telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
Good afternoon to the Minister Rose.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, great conversation. What he's saying is undeniable, but I won't be not a prosperity preacher, but, you know, I see what he's doing with, I mean, he's doing with the youths and the positive outlook. It's undeniable, but I guess without the movable press, we wouldn't have had the Bible so early, right? So I can't say technology is not God-driven, but let's say it's cursed by man. So to make a blunt out statement and say technology is God-driven, when a conscious person knows these statements by technocrats as in the early 20th century, like Marcion Scott and M. King Hubbard, and some scientists like Saint-Simon, a French scientist, made statements like they are superior to all men and they will use science to control humanity. Hence, scientific dictatorship, and the Bible speaks about science running away with humanity. And it is actually the whole idea behind technology is to eventually enslave humanity. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking at it in the face. And so You're partially correct. So maybe this is something that's up for debate. Because mankind will eventually run away with himself because he's too, whatever you think he is, right? And I just thought the statement was too blunt to say it's God-driven because man has forsaken God and he's using science for good but mostly evil right now. And so if you're not able to discern or see the evil in it, then you are part of the problem. So hence I dub it techology because it really is designed to make humanity more hedonistic and lazy. Wow. Everything is the press of a finger, a button. Give thanks.
But don't leave.
He gone.
Okay, well, I don't 100% agree. I like how your mind works, but I don't 100% agree with what you said in terms of it being man-driven. I think when you look at technology and in terms of how it empowers us to work easier and accomplish more in shorter periods of time, that is a form of promotion, and all promotion comes from God. How we use it is dependent upon how we use it, the mindset of the man. I won't give God negative for us using it in a negative light. It's like a gun really has never of its own killed anybody ever in world history. The human who picked the gun up to use it against another human is the person who committed the murder. So it's about the mindset of how we use technology. But when you look throughout the ages and see how certain advancements come, we were a people, if you go back 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years and to see where we've come from then to now, the ideas that dropped into the hearts and the minds of people had to have been inspired by God. And I'm big on doing away with this notion that science is at war with God. No, I think all science comes from God. He's omniscience. He's omniscient. And so the Age of Enlightenment attempted, that period there, attempted to replace God with science, but I think it was nonsensical because the idea and the innovation itself were inspired by God. People tell you about these supernatural things that happened to them that inspired them to develop what they developed.
Yeah. Let me take this last telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
What are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
And you are my good friend, Boss of the Rulers. Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. Good to hear your voice.
Listen, let me tell you something, Howard. The things that this man is talking about don't come just by coming, you know. If you look at his foundation, mm-hmm. all right, and that's the problem we have in this country, the foundation. See, I know Devin's parents, okay? And so when he talks about a vertical relationship with God, he saw that in his house.
Yes, sir.
When he talks about the spirit of industry, he saw that in his house.
Yes, sir.
When he talks about understanding how science was, as his classmate at COB, I can tell you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
these
sir.
Are the things that are driven from the home.
Yes, yes.
Okay? They're driven from the home.
Yes, sir.
All right? And so you know, we want to get all these philosophical things, and government needs to do this, government needs to do that. The fact of the matter is, until we find ways in this country that encourages a family in a proper structure and with the proper tools, including reducing the cost of living so that parents don't have to take 2 and 3 jobs and reducing fees and those other things so they can afford to spend the money in educating their kids.
Yes, sir.
The fact that we do these sort of things as public policy and then create with the arms of the church and society and civic groups the ability to strengthen the family model. A lot of these things that we might be dealing with now, we wouldn't deal with.
Wow.
All right. But you can't teach a child to not answer what. If you ain't never around, then daddy ain't home, and mommy got to work 2 jobs.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And Grammy got all 5 of her children.
That's something, okay? Man.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All these spirals, man. It's spirals. The other thing I would say this, too, is that one of the things that honestly impressed me with what Dev said was the world is big, and technology has made it smaller and more connected. And sometimes, as behaviors professionals, we get frustrated because in our own, we're not recognized, we're not seen as valuable. Every time the government wants to do something, it's a foreign consultant. Every time a big business wants to do something, they bring in somebody foreign, right? And God help you if they're white and got blue eyes. They never leave, okay? But the fact of the matter is, the world out there understands who we are and what we bring value
to. Yes,
sir. All right? I went and spoke at a conference in Rome last month. In Rome.
Mm-hmm.
A pharmacy meeting in Rome as a keynote. Okay? All right? We have another classmate of ours from COB who's now the president of the PGA, the Professional Golf Association
of
America.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so on and so on and so on. We, listen, sometimes we just got to suck our teeth and say, if these people don't want to learn, you know what? I'm going to do what I got to do, and whenever my star shines, it shines.
Yes. All right?
Yeah. And so that means sometimes that maybe our kids don't come back home.
Wow.
All right?
This
but,
is it.
But we need to work so that they have these...
Well, at least you got to create the environment that they can right. come back on their own. If
and
you see something...
Real choice. And it means the God. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And that's what we need to do.
I appreciate it, man.
I've been listening all day, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you telling me.
That's Dr. Marvin Smith, one of the most brilliant minds anywhere. I'm glad he shared the wrong thing because he is called all over the world to come and share and speak. Good friend of mine. I'm very proud of him.
I really do appreciate it, Dr. Smith, for being able to call. An ambassador role, I want to thank you so very kindly, man. I really do enjoy this. I always enjoy sitting with you. You know I tell you that. I always enjoy it, right? If I can have you sitting with me every day, once a week, my God, I don't get your business. But I don't know what you should be doing every week. But I'm available.
Yes, I hear you.
You know where Howard is. I don't know where you is. Praise God.
Yes, we
got to
connect
more. Able to come here and have a good conversation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm grateful for that. Tomorrow, we're going to be able to dive deeper into a panel discussion. We're going to have a few persons in the studio to still take on this kind of a course and have further conversations about one people united in love and service. Ambassador Rule, I thank you so very kindly. Thank you to your wife, your beautiful wife, yes. for letting the union say
Let me say hello to my beautiful wife.
You better do that.
And all my family and all those listening from the great kingdom, the Discipleship Center. And of course, I slipped away from my music camp to come here today, too.
I got to know the music camp.
I got to come here and plug it properly. But we're having a music camp, Barak School of Music. This year's 22, I believe it is. To God be the glory for him sustaining us.
What's the ages?
Age 4 to 17. And a great production comes out at the end of it on August 4th.
August 4th.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, down here, if you want to find out anything further about that, hit me up, 827-0111, 827-0111. I'll be more than happy to send you a flyer once he sends me the information. That's the show today. I want to thank you guys so very kindly for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation. Have a great day, guys. Godspeed. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Foundation.